to follow the offering of some false teacher. And then the third question, well, what else does mercy, love, and peace being multiplied to us have to do with our walk and our witness? Well, part of the answer to that is given in verse 21 to 23. See, mercy and love are very closely linked to our preservation and to our keeping. And they remind the godly of the hope that they have of the victory over sin and death. And together with that, another thing that we should see in the godly is a burden for the ungodly. Because we have been shown mercy, because we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, because we are loved, we wait patiently to experience these things in all their fullness on the day we are presented before His glorious presence. The godly have absolute assurance that they are not going to get what they deserve. That is mercy. With great joy and hope, we wait patiently for eternal life with Jesus. And this increasing experience and understanding of mercy, peace, and love should motivate and drive us to reach out and rescue the ungodly. So we have recognizing the godly, the ungodly. We have recognizing the godly, and we have rescuing the ungodly. My dad told me I must use alliteration because it helps us remember. So, all right. So, firstly, a few thoughts as we consider rescuing the ungodly. The first thought is we need to be properly prepared. The godly must build themselves up in their most holy faith. If you know the truth, you can identify any lie in any form. The Word of God must take priority in our lives. The godly hide God's Word in their hearts, meditating on it day and night. They study the Word. They know the truth as revealed in God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Teach and urge these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. Piper, in one of his works, mentions there are truths about God and Christ and man and the church and the world which are essential. When doctrine goes bad, so do hearts. There is a body of doctrine which must be preserved, and God's Word equips us with that. It provides us with the truth, and the ungodly need to hear the truth of God's Word. And knowing God's Word also protects the godly. It protects us from being deceived. Secondly, then, the godly must build themselves up in praying in the Holy Spirit. Can I just read Romans 8, verse 26 and 27? Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to God's will. So even in our prayers, we are not left on our own, but we have God's Spirit, and we must build ourselves up in praying in the Holy Spirit, depending on God in every sphere of our lives. And then we must also keep ourselves in God's love. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour. Do not follow your own lusts. Be strong in the Lord, ready to contend, having put on the whole armor of God. Search your hearts. Ask God to search your hearts. We know we cannot lose our salvation because we kept, but be cautioned because our love can grow cold. And if our love is cold, our burden for rescuing the ungodly is diminished. Secondly, there, we need to know their end, talking about the ungodly. And we need to remember and realize that could have been our end as well. But we were called. We were sanctified. Jude leaves no room for doubt that the ungodly stand condemned, and he gives a number of examples of how God has dealt with them in the past. I'm not going to reference them all again. But it's important for us to remember that but for being called and sanctified, the godly were once just like the ungodly. The ungodly are spiritually dead. The truth of the gospel is foolishness to them. And so we need to take care and we need to show compassion as we reach out to the ungodly. So these thoughts should spur us on to take action. You see, the letter of Jude is not written to a pastor. It's written to those who are called, who are sanctified, who are kept. It's the duty to contend for the faith is therefore not just the responsibility of the pastor, but it's the responsibility of each one of us. And contending for something involves an actual effort, an effort to bring about change. It means going after. We must confront these men with the fact that they are sinners. We must warn of the judgment of the unsaved. They must understand that because they are sinners, they will be condemned and spend eternity in hell. Man must be presented with the truth that Jesus Christ became sin for us, he who knew no sin. Man must understand that he must come to God in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. We also need to exercise proper caution when dealing with those who propagate false teaching. We read about this in Romans 16, verse 17 to 20. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. We need to realize that our strength lies in God's word. Our strength lies in the enabling power of his word and his spirit, not in our own abilities. So as we reach out to the lost, we don't depend on our own skills and our own strength of reasoning. Jude tells us to grow and pray and stay in the love of God and depend on his mercy before he says anything about how we should contend for the faith. The best argument for the faith is when the saints live it. And that is why Peter also says, be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and reverence. The way we contend for the faith is as important as the content of our arguments. Be sympathetic, be brotherly, be kind-hearted, be humble in spirit. Love your enemy. Don't return evil for evil or insult for insult, but be a blessing. I would like to take David's word to Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28, and I'd like us to apply it to ourselves. Perhaps as we conclude, we can turn to that scripture. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Remember, this is David speaking to Solomon, but let's take these words and apply them to our own lives. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Be careful now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. And then a bit further down we read again, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, For the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to all those who are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Let's pray together. Father, there are so many teachings out there in the world today, but only one truth. And Lord, as we consider our walk before you, we thank you that we can rely on you fully. We thank you that mercy can be found. We thank you that we can have peace with God. We thank you that we can experience such great love. Father, we thank you that when you call, your call is effective. We thank you that the work of your Son on the cross was sufficient, Lord. We thank you for his example of obedience. We thank you for his example of godliness and what it means to be a servant, what it means to have a compassion for the lost. And so, Lord, as we consider the hope that we have of being kept by you, the hope and the joy that we have in knowing that you will take us and present us faultless. Lord, help us to be diligent and fervent in sharing that, in sharing the good news of the gospel. Father, help us to be bold. Help us to have an increased burden for the lost. And Father, we think of the destruction and the despair that they face and the hopelessness of their situation, and we can only cry out to you. Many of us have got family and friends, Lord, who are close and dear to us who deny you. Some of those that we walk with every day are deceived, Lord. They're not even fully aware that they don't have the truth. They think they're living in the truth. And yet they're not. So help us, we pray, Lord. Give us discernment. Give us a passion for the lost. We pray that you would use us, Father, for the extension of your kingdom and for the glory of your name. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Let's stand as we sing together. Thank you. to those who have been called,